Greetings to each of you this morning, again, in Jesus' name. It's a beautiful day to be in the house of God. It's been a beautiful day to be here and to be a part of the service. And thank you to all of you that shared in one way or another in your parts. And a lot of the theme, the songs and the devotions and a lot of things correlate a little bit with what I'm going to talk about. So I'm always grateful, or I'm impressed, I guess. I don't know if that's the right word either, but with how God orchestrates and how the Holy Spirit works. And as I told the men in our class, I'm almost scared to get up here to preach after our Sunday school discussion about leaders. But I am retired, so I'll transfer that off to Dale and Harley and Curtis. But so this morning, and what I was going to talk about, really, I had been thinking about this for some time. I was going to talk about the church and the importance of the church, the value of the church, and how the blessing that the church is and what it means to God and to Jesus. But then when I looked at the Sunday school lesson, and I said, well, it's sort of going in the same pattern. So at the last minute here, I think a week or so ago, I heard Dale talk to Harley, and they were talking about the list that Dale had put together a few years ago about topics that we should cover periodically, and the one was non-resistance, and Dale thought, maybe I would do that, and since I think I did it the last time. So I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk about the church. Well, that changed, so we're going to talk about non-resistance. But I'm going to do it a little bit different. It was back in November 21. I did find my notes, which was surprising. I'm not a very neat organizer in some of that, but since I don't preach as often, I don't have as many notes to go through, and so I found them. But I'm going off of that somewhat. That time I had us look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 39, and so I'm going to refer to some of that, but that's not my gist. As I thought about non-resistance, and that's not you don't find that word in the Bible, but you find that the Bible alludes to that very strongly in resisting evil and so on. And so as a non-resistant, and the way we grew up and the way I grew up, the way most of us grew up, and our look at non-resistance, a lot of it had to do with military service and that kind of thing. And it also came into daily life, but it seemed like that was the greatest emphasis, at least in my mind. That was the biggest thing, is the Bible tells us, and Jesus said, don't kill, don't murder, and so on. And so the Mennonite Church, the Anabaptist belief, has brought that into one of the ordinances of that we strongly believe in and is a part of who we are. I've titled this, The Power of Love in Overcoming Evil. And there's a book, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit later, but it's, and Reuben referred to it here maybe a month ago, The Secret of the Strength. And so some of this, my thought, comes from a little bit I've read in that. If I would have planned a little more or thought where I was going, I would have tried to read more of that. I'm not into it real far, but I got the gist of it at least. And so it's The Secret of the Strength. And as you think about that, what do you think about when you think of that title, The Secret of the Strength? And of course, if you don't know what the book's about, then you maybe can't get to that. But it has a lot to do about the Reformation, and there's a lot of history in it from the very beginning, from the early church and the persecution that they faced and where the Anabaptist movement came from and so on. But you can turn to Romans chapter 12, and that's where I'm going to take in mostly the text out of. I'm going to hit and miss, pick out verses. I'm not going through the whole thing, verse by verse, but, and there's some other things that, verses that I want to talk about as well, that talk about non-resistance, and, but I thought this chapter, really, because of verse 14, I guess, actually, and verse 17 really fits what I'm meaning to talk about. But this thing of, and Jesus talks about in Matthew 5:39, it says, resist not evil, but. And that word but changes a lot of things. Whenever you see the word but, it changes the perspective of what you're talking about to begin with. Or it's like, resist evil, but do something else, or resist not evil. And so that's what non-resistance really means. To resist is to withstand or oppose actively. So it's to take a stand against something. And Jesus said that we are to take a stand against evil. And in James 4:7, he also says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And then in 1 Peter 5:8, it talks about your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And then in verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So that's talking about the devil, resisting the devil. Jesus is talking about, yes, resisting the devil and the works of the devil, but evil, and of course, evil comes from the devil. And so the scripture, the only one in the scriptures that I can read that we're told to resist is the devil. And because all evil comes from him, because he is evil. So we're not to resist good, but we're to do good and to promote good. And so through this, I think, when I think of non-resistance, I think of persecution. I think of evil that is trying to overtake. And in our world today, and it's always been, but it seems like it's more and more, and the Bible would tell us that's what's going to happen, is we see evil being flaunted, evil being pushed forward, evil being condoned more and more. And so for you and I as believers, as Christians, it takes our faith and trust in God more, or maybe cements our trust and faith in God more to overcome the evil that we are faced with. Granted, we aren't faced with some of the persecution that they are in many parts of the world. And probably some of the persecutions we would classify as persecutions or hardships or things that we have to resist. Here in America, the people in other lands that are facing life and death persecution for their faith in God, they would probably laugh at us for how different it is. And yet there is persecution even here in America, and that some of you and others have faced, and we will face. And so my part of my goal is that we would prepare ourselves, because the persecution that is in other parts of the world is fast coming to this country. And unless God intervenes and God shortens the time to take the church away, you and I probably will face some of the things that they're facing in other places. In Luke 9, there's verses 54 through 56. This is the account where Jesus and the disciples were leaving, moving through a country, and they came into the country of Samaria. And they were on their way to Jerusalem, but they stopped there in this city. And the people there didn't welcome them. They basically told them, get going, keep on moving, you're not welcome. So James and John asked Jesus, said, should we call fire down from heaven and destroy these people for that? Thinking back of the time, Elijah? They called fire down, and they consumed the people there. And so Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're talking from. Now, if you read the NIV, you're not going to have that in there. The words that Jesus spoke are not in the NIV, and it says some of the manuscripts added what Jesus said. In that verse and then also in the next one, Jesus answered and said, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Anyway, that I read somewhere else that those words were added, but they're the words of Jesus, and I like that. And I think that sums up the whole reason, and the idea behind non-resistance is that we aren't out to hurt anyone. We're out to help. The Christian life is one of love, and that's what Romans 12 is telling us, and we're going to get into that a little more, is love overcomes evil. Love is stronger than the forces and power of evil. Love will win in the end. And the video, I guess, the other Sunday night that we watched about the Wormbrands, the Voice of the Martyrs, gave us a good picture, insight of what people have faced. And if you go and read Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, you can see a lot of things that it describes in there of what the people of old time, of the early church and so on, what they went through, the hardships they faced. And then we can know also through history, we come into the Reformation and for the Anabaptist movement and so on, where so many people lost their lives and they gave their life. And so that's where this book, The Secret of the Strength, comes in to into play. And one of the examples the writer gives in the opening, his name is Peter Hoover. I don't know if it's one of Scott's relatives or not, but he gives the example. He had an early experience in his life. There was a speaker came to their church and spoke, and he gave a demonstration of talking about Felix Mons, and he's a name that most of us would know from the early Anabaptist movement. And his faith that that the way that the minister displayed how they actually drowned him in the river really inspired him and moved him, and it put a sense in his life that this is the kind of faith that he wants himself to learn to have and to live by, the faith that Felix Mons had. And his faith was in God. And so, as the if you know the story, they bound his hands, they stripped him over his knees, put him in a kneeling, or pulling his knees up, I'm sure, putting his hands over his knees and putting a stick between his knees and his arms so that he can't move. And then they pushed him in the water, and he drowned. And his mother stood on the riverbank, and she shouted encouragement to her son not to give up, to keep the faith. And so those are things that moved him. Those are things that should move us. Those are are stories or accounts that move me as well, and I think they do all of us, to the fact that it's beyond us. It's not us, it's God. And we need to focus beyond what we're facing, experiencing, and facing learning to know God, who God is. Curtis challenged us last week. I don't remember just how he said it, but so much that there's a difference between knowing about God and knowing God. And I think that's where this brings us down to. The power of love is only through the power of God within us and knowing God, who God is, that's going to help us to overcome the evil that we face or will face or do face. So what is the secret of the strength that he's trying to find in his search? What is it that drives these people or motivates these people to not give up in the face of death? What is it? What was it about Jesus? When he could have, he said, I could call 12 legions of angels. They would deliver me. He pleaded with his Father, isn't there another way? Do I have to drink this cup? What drove him to go through what he knew he was going to face? The cruelest and the harshest, the worst way to die in that a man could die was what Jesus did. Where did he receive his strength to not resist evil? Where does our strength come from in resisting evil that tries our faith? I think the answer lies in a life transformed. And I probably should have read our scripture first, but I guess it's better late than never. So I'm going to read at least the first three verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So I would conclude, in my way of thinking, the answer to the secret of strength is in a life transformed by the power of the risen Christ through a renewed mind. These martyrs didn't go through these persecutions leading to death for their own glory, but for the glory of God and the reward that awaited them. John, in John 18:36, wrote what Jesus said. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence or from here. And so Jesus drew his, and I think all these martyrs draw their strength from the fact that they have been transformed from with a new mind and a new heart. And I trust that every one of us have experienced that as well. If not, God help us. We need that. If we're going to stand in the time over to overcome evil and have love, we can't have the power of love without the power of God within us, because it's his power that works in and through us and demonstrates God's love through us to others. I had to think of the song, and I don't know all the words. I don't know. But anyway, it's Jesus looked beyond the cross and saw my need. That's what Jesus, he looked, he saw. Yeah, he knew he was going to face a cross, but he saw beyond that. He was going to ascend to heaven. He's going to be at the right hand of the Father. He's going to overcome that. And it wasn't through resist or through the power of fighting and resisting that way, but he resisted the evil in showing love, the power of love. So did all these other people in Hebrews 11. The writer that wrote that is Hebrews 11, 16, for one verse. It talks about Abraham, and then it's the other patriarchs. There's a number of verses in there. Those that are in the hall of fame. God is not ashamed. This was their conclusion, that God is not ashamed to be called their God, or they claim God this way. For he hath prepared for them a city. And it also talks about they were looking for a city whose maker and founder or creator was God. That's where you and I need to have our attention focused on. In the world that we live, in the society we are in, and it affects me as well as everybody else. We are so focused on our things, on our activities, on what we're doing and we have to do day to day, that we become distracted and we forget that we're not staying here. Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you can come and be with me as well. What comforting words. Those words, I believe, if I was facing the cross, or if I was facing whatever kind of persecution, physically, to have that focus in my mind that you can kill the body, but you can't kill my soul. You can't take away my peace. And if I die, if I go, it'll all be over. It'll be better. I'll be in a better place. I'll be with God, be with Jesus. To keep that focus in mind, and it's only through the love of God and the power of love that I can do that. And so my challenge is, if I call it a challenge, my encouragement to each of us is, let's not just know, and there's many, many people in churches today, I believe, that are sitting in their pews, and they know about God, they've heard about God all their life, but there's probably few that really know God. How about you and I? Have you had a real encounter with God? Is he Lord of your life? Romans 12 isn't just talking to us as individuals. He goes on to, and this would have been a good chapter to talk about the church as well, because he refers to that and the different motivational gifts that are evident in the body. But he's talking to us as a church body as well, as a whole. All these things that, I need to read some more of it here, I guess, to remind us that it's talking to you and I as individuals. Paul is trying to encourage the church in Rome that, you know, you are to do these, but it's not just as individuals, but as individuals make a body, the body working together has a lot of strength. I'm going to skip down to verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation, or let your love be sincere, without hypocrisy, and it means dissemble. When I read that word, dissemble, I was way off the beam. To me, that was taking something apart. But my understanding is dissemble is simply living a fake or not being true or sincere. That's what the dictionary brought out. Anyway, so I learned something. It says, he goes on to say, abhor or hate that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Again, a lot of good things to remind us of what we are to do. If you didn't have enough to do, you thought you're too busy, well, I just added a little more to your list, if you maybe forgot, and mine as well. It's a tough task. We have to be intentional if we're going to do these things and uphold that which the Bible tells us to do, and to be the kind of person that we need to do and to be. In verse 14, he talks about bless them which persecute you. So these are some of the things that you and I are to do on the outward. As I said, he's talking to the church. He's talking to us as individuals, but he's also talking to us as a body and individual as we mix with the unbelieving world out and about. And where love will overcome evil. Bless them which persecute you. How do you do that? How could you do that? How could you pray for the person that was beating the soles of your feet when you're tied up and you can't move? How would you bless that person? It says, recompense, do not repay to no man evil for evil. Don't fight back. That's probably one of the harder things that we face. At least I do. At least within my mind, I think of things I would like to do, or I'd like to see that person face because of what they did. But that's paying, if I could, pay them back. But Jesus, the Bible tells us, Paul is saying, don't do that. Don't pay them back. Remember, God is the one that will dish out the consequences in the future. Verse 19, avenge not yourselves. Leave room for God's wrath. Do not take revenge, in other words, on someone else. Leave it. It's in God's. Let God take care of it, is what he's saying. And then he goes on to say, you know, we know these verses well. If you worked in prison or had anything to do with prison, these verses are highlighted. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. How do you do that? You know, James and John, they were ready. They would have loved to see Jesus just call fire down and just do away with these people. But no. Love God's love, when we act out of God's love, it brings conviction. It brings people to a different perspective. Hopefully, it will humble them and they will see their need. But either way, he says, if they're hungry, give them food. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. I think another place it says, if they need clothing, give them something to wear. And then the last verse, I want to close with that. Overcome evil with good. What is the secret to overcoming evil? I believe it's having a renewed mind, as in verse 2. Transformed through the mercy and grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. The power of love will overcome evil. Never forget that. The power of love is greater and stronger than any power that Satan would throw at us and cause us to, trying to cause us to stumble. So, may God bless you. Thank you for your attention. And let's continue working together in learning to know God and who God is and what He wants for us. So, you can stand and we will sing 722 in the Faith and Praise. Thank you again, Father in Heaven, for your love and your goodness, your mercy to us. Thank you for your word that you have given us to read and to study and to apply to our lives. God, help us that we would strive to know you and who you are, and to know your love, that your love would motivate us to be the kind of people to stand the test and the trials that come our way, as those that have gone before us have done, and those in many parts of the world are facing today, in choosing to love rather than fighting. God, help us today to be strong and to be intentional, to be followers of the cross. So lead us, God, bless each person here today, and those that are not here, may you be with them, protect them, and care for them as well. May you receive glory, may you receive honor, because it's what you have done, what you are doing, that we are able to do what we are supposed to do. So thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.